From Washington, this is VOA News. President Donald Trump, in a defiant speech in West Virginia Thursday night, called stories about his campaign's alleged ties to Russia a total fabrication that makes his political opponents feel better about themselves after having lost a last year's election.
The Russia story is a total fabrication. It's just an excuse for the greatest loss in the history of American politics. That's all it is.
In the election, President Trump won the Electoral College, though he lost the popular vote. All this comes as the Wall Street Journal reported that special counsel Robert Mueller has seated a grand jury, significantly stepping up the probe into Russian interference in the election.
It increases the power of these prosecutors. Instead of asking people to provide testimony, they can demand testimony under penalty of perjury and under risk of contempt of court. And with respect to documents, instead of asking people for documents, they can demand documents.
John Hastings is a professor of law at the Hastings School of Law. Reuters reports the grand jury has already issued subpoenas in connection with the June 2016 meeting involving a Russian lawyer, Donald Trump Jr., and other top campaign officials. Additionally, CNN is reporting that Mueller's investigation is expanding to examine possible financial crimes. Police in Australia say two brothers are facing terrorism charges for their alleged attempt to place a bomb on board a plane out of Sydney last month in a plot directed by the Islamic State group. A third man remains in custody, while a fourth was released without charges. From Washington, this is VOA. In Juba, South Sudan, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, the new UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, said that continuing violence is causing the South Sudanese people to suffer needlessly. He said the warring parties appear unwilling to end the violence, and he called on them to engage in meaningful political process to end the fighting. Pakistan's new cabinet took the oath on Friday, concluding a democratic leadership transition process that was set in motion a week ago when a judicial order ousted Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif for concealing assets and plunged the nuclear-armed nation into political uncertainty. Sharif's ruling Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, which dominates the parliament together with its allied parties, swiftly nominated and elected Shahid Khaqan Abbasi as the country's new chief executive. As U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson embarks on his first official trip to Southeast Asia this week, the United States continues to call for a legally binding mechanism to prevent conflicting territorial claims in the South China Sea from erupting into violent confrontations. VOA's Cindy Sain has more.
Foreign ministers from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations are expected to endorse the framework of a code of conduct on the South China Sea as they gather in Manila. While the framework commits to cooperation over confrontation, it is also seen as bending to China's influence since it is not legally binding. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson wants to work with China on differences without leading to open conflict. Among them is stepping up pressure against North Korea.
There is no future where North Korea holds nuclear weapons or the ability to deliver those nuclear weapons to anyone in the region, much less to the homeland.
Tillerson will be walking a fine line with the Southeast Asian bloc, seeking assurances from them to isolate Pyongyang without creating a perception that North Korea overshadows their concerns in the South China Sea. This is Cindy Sain in Washington.
The U.S. military confirmed Friday that an airstrike earlier this week targeted and killed a senior member of the al-Shabaab extremist group. Ali Mohammed Hussein, who served as al-Shabaab's shadow governor for Mogadishu, has been one of the group's most outspoken members. He was killed in an airstrike, the only person killed during the strike, and no civilians were harmed. Hussein, also known as Ali Jabal, was known for forcing Mogadishu businesses to donate money to Islamic militants. Somalia's information minister, Abdulrahman Omar Osman, told VOA Somali Service that President Mohamed Abdulli Mohamed approved an operation with international partners on July 30th. From Washington, I'm Steve Garish.
That's the latest world news from VOA.